Welcome into Bucks Insider presented by Verizon. Casey Phillips here with senior writer and editor Scott Smith. Another week in the offseason that we have a ton of things to talk about, a ton of new additions to the team, both playing, coaching, all of it. There's a lot going on here in our world. So let's start out with the coaching changes. Yeah, Tell me what this means for the team.
It's the most recent development. Mm-hmm. That's why we're starting there. The Buccaneers have they've moved John Van Dam, who'd been the tight ends coach for the last 2 years, to a new position called passing game assistant. And the new tight ends coach is Justin Peele, who really has a nice resume working with tight ends. He worked for 8 years with Philly, six of them as the tight ends coach, and then the last 3 years with the Falcons. And so he's worked with some, he's mm-hmm. had coached several players to Pro Bowls in 2018 with Philly, and last year with Atlanta. His rooms were the most productive tight end rooms in the entire league. So it's a guy that really has a lot of experience, and you know, he's taking over a group with the Buccaneers. It's probably the youngest tight end group in the league, right? All three guys that played last year were drafted in the last 2 years, Kate Otten and Coke Kieft and Payne Durham. And so I think it's good to have a guy with that much experience. He even played 10 years in the NFL as a tight end. So when you have that young of a group, I think getting somebody that can really develop them is key. And Peele seems like he fits in there.
I see what you did there.
What do you mean?
Look at your face. You're so proud. How long did you think about that before?
On the drive-in.
I liked that. That was pretty good. And I know we're going to get more in-depth into Jordan Whitehead signing in just a minute. So let's talk about some of the other additions that are outside of Jordan, which we know is kind of the big splashy one. What were some of the other player additions and re-signings of last week?
Well, a couple more guys re-signed from our own list. John Wolford, the quarterback, who's the third quarterback all last year. And we had a really good source on that one. On the tweet, that was great.
That was really good. He's taking our jobs over here. You know, it's like, man, if you're going to announce things, what are we doing?
That's awesome. So he had fun with that one. Justin School, the swing tackle last year, didn't really play much because we fortunately stayed very healthy on the offensive line. But he was your guy that was active for every game that would have filled in if either tackle was down. So they're back. And then in addition to the last week's signing of Jordan Whitehead, we have four new guys from other teams. I'm going to have to put on my handy-dandy reading glasses. Bryce Hall, the cornerback from the Jets, and most recently, Tavier Thomas, a cornerback from the Texans who has a lot of experience playing in the slot. So you got a couple different options there. And then two offensive linemen, Ben Bredesen from the Giants and Sua Opeta from the Eagles. And all those guys have some starting experience. All of them could be options for a couple positions where you are maybe needing some help, because Aaron Stinney left in free agency, so you have one open spot on your offensive line. So you give yourself a couple options there, and you gave yourself a couple options at cornerback after trading Carlton Davis. So to me, what that does is it gives you a little bit more flexibility when you're talking about heading into the draft, right? You don't necessarily have to hit interior lineman or have to hit cornerback. So I just think it gives you a little bit of room to move around in the draft.
Okay, I like that. And then, of course, now it's time to talk about Jordan Whitehead, a guy that has just brought so much joy to all the Bucks fans and everyone in the building that he is back. Just one of the truly fun guys to be around, always has a smile on his face. Just I love that this locker room is so full of guys like this that are just They're a blast to watch do their craft. They bring a lot of joy to the other guys on the team, and it amazed me. I wasn't shocked, but I was amazed at how incredible the reaction was by Bucks fans to bringing him back.
Yeah.
And I know Jordan also talked about how exciting it is for him to be back as well at his press conference. Let's take a listen to that.
Jordan, what's it like to be back in Tampa?
It feels good. It feels like it's home. They drafted me, so I always have love being here. It brings back a lot of memories, and the coaches, Coach Rapone in general, that's one of my favorite coaches I've ever been around. And, you know, just talking to him this morning just kind of just brought back with, like, you know, the meaning of football and, you know, the relationships you build throughout, your journey. And that's one that, you know, I'll never forget. And then just seeing him and, it brightens my day, and everybody in the building just being back for the second time, I can't be happier.
Well, you heard him bring up Nick Rapone. That is the safeties coach. He was here when Jordan was here before. He is still here now. We always hear about how important consistency is in those positions. And I can tell you, no one was more excited about Jordan coming back than Nick Rapone. And thankfully, we have video evidence to prove this.
I just want to see your face.
He's back?
Jordan?
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Beautiful!
Oh man! Oh, I can't wait to do him every day.
We didn't even have to cut Winfield to do it.
but like repose. Reason why I'm here. That's the best right there.
I just absolutely love this.
That was awesome.
So wonderful and
so genuine.
So genuine on both their parts. You could tell how much it meant to Jordan. You could tell how much it meant to Coach Rapone.
Yes.
And I loved that you could see John Spytek, Coach Bowles, all these people.
They wanted to see the reaction.
They wanted that. They knew how excited he would be. And I just loved this, that they were all like these kids that were just like, I want to see. Yeah. So that was really incredible. So for you, tell me your thoughts on not only, of course, what he brings in terms of just his presence around the building that everybody loves, but what he's going to bring on the field.
Well, listen, rewind to after the 2020 season and the Buccaneers had won the Super Bowl, and they very famously kept the whole gang together. Everybody, every key player, every starter that they needed to re-sign, they did. 2021 got close, but they just knew they couldn't make it work, and somebody was going to leave. A couple guys were going to leave, and as it turned out, one of them was Jordan Whitehead, and you know, at the time you had a little bit of leeway there. You had Mike Edwards who could step in and start, and so I guess they made the decision that that was the one that would get away, and the Buccaneers have regretted it ever since. And literally, when Jason Light called the agent for Jordan Whitehead to, you know, when they started the process of trying to re-sign him, he was like, "We messed up.
Wow.
We want Jordan back." He literally told the agent, like, we made a mistake when we let him go and we want him back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so Jordan, he said he was bummed when he left. He didn't want to leave. But then he went to the Jets and he got to play like 99% of the snaps instead of sometimes subbing out with Mike Edwards. And he got to play a lot more in coverage, and he feels like it made him a much more complete receiver. And if you look here, I mean, safety, that'd be pretty impressive.
That
he came back
impressive.
As a complete receiver.
Hey, that's the kind of hands we want on catching that many balls.
So he started in 2018 with the Bucs. You see his 4 years there and then 2 years at the bottom with the Jets. He had his most snaps played and his most pass coverage snaps in both of those 2 years with the Jets. So he got to, and then you see he had six interceptions. Which he had 5 and 4 years with the Bucs and 6 and 2 years with the Jets. So he got to do a lot. He got to play free safety a lot more rather than just being, as he used the word, being that thumper in the box. He is that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing. And that's what made him such a special part of our defense that won the Super Bowl. But he thinks, and I think he's right, that he's a more complete safety now. And so it worked out really well, and we're so happy to have him back.
Yeah. And so as much as we loved watching Jordan play before, if this is an even more complete version of Jordan Whitehead,
yeah.
That's pretty exciting, and yeah, I can't wait to watch him play.
Put him
alongside
right next to Antoine Winfield.
Antoine Winfield, that's a pretty fierce
duo nice.
Back there. And another part of what's going on this time of year, we've talked about free agency, the combine was recently, but now the league meetings are happening this year in Orlando. They kind of rotate different places that they have them. And so tell us a little bit about what's on the table. You know, this is where a lot of the rules get changed or happen. So what are we looking out for at these meetings?
Every year, especially this one, they don't necessarily, they might pass some of them at this one, they might pass or turn down them later in the next meeting in May, but they're going to start discussing like 10 possible rule changes and 7 changes to bylaws. Things like, one that's actually already kind of controversial is potentially banning the hip drop tackle, which the NFLPA once again yesterday came out with a statement saying they don't want that to happen. And I understand that the league is concerned about player safety, but the NFLPA doesn't want them to be more and more rules that makes it confusing for defenders on what they can do. So that's one. Some of the teams want you to, you know, if you have 2 challenges and you use them both, you can only use a third if you win the first 2. Mm. Well, Detroit proposes that you get the third if you win either one of the first 2. So little things like that. But probably the biggest one, the one that's getting the most news, is the potential drastic changes to how kickoffs are structured. Have you read about this?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Just to try to sum it up real quickly, the kicker kicks from the 35 still, but all the coverage players are at the other team's 40, and then most of the return teams at the 35, and they can't move until the ball hits the ground or is caught. So they're trying to reduce
major
that
collision.
Yeah, the high speed collisions. If the ball lands on the ground before what they call the landing zone, which is the goal line to the 20, it's a dead ball, and the offense gets the ball at the 40. If it lands in the end zone or is caught in the end zone, it's a touchback and it comes out to the 35.
Wow.
If it lands in the landing zone, it must be returned.
Wow.
If it lands in the landing zone on the ground and then kicks into the end zone, it's a touchback that comes out to the 20. So think of all the potential strategy.
First of all, that's a lot to keep straight as you're even out there of where is the ball, where am I on the field, what does that mean? There's a lot more strategy.
There's going to be
now.
A lot. Coaching's going to be very important because there's going to be strategy to figure out how do you like maximize the blocking opportunities with the way those people are like, you know, so close together but not running full speed. what kind of kick do you want? Does it matter if it's a line drive kick if you can't move? You want hang time usually on a kickoff because you want time for your cover men to get down there. But if they can't move from the 40 until the ball's caught, it doesn't really matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, just quickly looking at it, that the best possible strategy would be like a line drive kick that bounces inside the 20 and goes in the end zone. But is that risky, you know? Do you sometimes kick it out of bounds? I don't know. It's going to be interesting if they pass that to see how that how the strategy evolves.
Yeah, that'll be fascinating. And then, again, we know that this next piece of news, it's not that the news itself is going to be, oh, there's the graphic of the decline of the NFL kickoff return.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. As you can see, 93 was the year when they moved it from the kickoff from the 35 back to the 30 because kickoffs had been declining. And you see, I just picked some random years along the way over the last 30 years. By 2002, it peaked at, 2,200 kickoffs during the season, 17 of which for touchdowns. But then other rule changes happened, and then and so 2011, it got moved back up to the 35. And then recently, you had the fair catch rule, where you can fair catch and get a touchback. And so last year, that was the lowest ever, 587 kickoffs. That's like a fourth of what it used to be, and only four kickoff return touchdowns in the entire league.
Wow, that's going to be interesting.
Really changed
a
lot.
So as we were talking about the next piece of news, it's not so much that the news is so recent, Lavonte David coming back. That happened over a week ago now at this point. But his presser is finally tomorrow, so we're going to get a chance to hear from Lavonte himself for the first time since that, which is going to be really wonderful. And just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the idea of his highlights, his what he's brought his team, and why they want to bring him back for another year. That it seems like his career, it's not like he's declining. He just seems to still be playing at such a high level.
It's very, very much like Mike Evans, that everybody on both sides, I think, wants these guys to be Bucks for life. I mean, they are top 5-7 players in team history, right? You just don't want them to, their careers to go anywhere else. And Lavonte, like you said, is still playing at a great level, and that includes in pass coverage. As you've seen with the pass breakup, I think he wished he'd caught it. But if he's been just quite simply one of the best coverage linebackers in the NFL over the last decade. And if you look at this, I know not everybody completely understands EPA. It's expected points added. If you're a defender, negative is better. And it is a cumulative stat, so playing a long time at a high level helps you quite a bit. But since Lavonte came in the league, he has the best coverage EPA among linebackers when he's the nearest defender.
Wow.
So he's just been, like I said, one of the best coverage linebackers in the entire league.
And look at the other names.
Yeah, those are superstars. And Fred Warner's considered the best pass defending linebacker in the league right now.
And I think we can prove maybe Lavonte is better.
He's had a little bit more time.
Yes, that's helped. True. That's fair.
They're both fantastic players.
Yeah, that's very true. And then our final thing we wanted to talk about on the show, this is a really cool initiative. We have the inaugural coaching academy. The league had, the team had announced this recently, and now they just this week announced the actual recipients of it, the people that are going to be joining the Bucs team. So tell us a little bit more about what this means and the idea behind it.
Well, there were 1,500 candidates. They're people who have had at least 3 years of coaching at high school, college, or semi-pro level. They're from all over, including the 25 participants are from Germany, Denmark, Brazil, and of course, a lot all over the United States. They will get a week-long program in which they do things like film review and media training and instruction on software, interactive sessions, and it was designed in part by Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles and Tony Dungy and Ronnie Barber, and they're going to be involved, so they're going to get some great tutelage there. It's designed to help people potentially get entry into the NFL.
Yeah, and I loved the whole idea behind it, that it's people who maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to get in the door, that if they didn't mm-hmm. know somebody, if there wasn't that connection, that, you know, it's just going to be really cool to see all of the different people from all over the place, you know, men, women, other countries. It's
for
just
sure.
really incredible. All right, that is going to do it for us on this edition of Bucks Insider presented by Verizon. We'll see you next time.